really painful for me. In the Home Office, I want to get on with my job, fixing quite a woeful inheritance. In Dover and Deal, I want to get on with representing my constituents. And it might not be a surprise, you may have heard me on the airwaves over the last week or so, fully backing the Prime Minister. And the driving force behind that is that I know that to deliver for the country, and it has to be country first, we have to have stability, whether it's for the economy, whether it's for international crisis from Iran to Ukraine, fixing the cost of living, or providing the secure borders that we expect. We need stability to do that. So that's what I'll be pushing for myself, and I hope that that's what we achieve.
Are you angry at your colleagues who have called for the Prime Minister to go, some 90 or so of them now?
I'm not angry. I respect every single one of my colleagues without exception, but that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything that they say. And I think I've made it really clear here tonight and over the last week that I want stability so we can deliver for the country.
Danny Finkelstein, I can't help but notice the reference to the Conservative Party in this question.
First of all, I should say Mike put that in a very emotionally intelligent way, and I think he deserved the applause that he got for the answer that he gave. And secondly, it's very important to start any answer by acknowledging that one of the reasons the government got elected was because the Conservative Party had done precisely this. If I'm trying to take the question literally, why did this happen? I think Labour ran in the election on Britain's completely broken, let's do nothing about it. Okay, and both those parts were popular. People did feel, they still do feel, that Britain was broken, and the Labour Party probably correctly intuited that if they came forward with any radical plan for doing that, people would be against it. And so therefore they played it extremely cautious, and they therefore ended up winning the election with a low proportion of the vote, but a landslide majority. So in addition to thinking what Mike needs to think about and the Labour Party and what I need to think about, the rest of us in politics need to think about, I think as an electorate we also need to think, are we being that realistic about the problems that the country faces and what we're willing to allow politicians to do? Keir Starmer went into the election promising a whole load of restrictions on tax, which really weren't a sensible way of approaching our national problems, but were forced into that, not just by the Conservative Party being ready to say, you're a tax-rising party, but also by the electorate not wanting them to promise any tax increases. So if we don't want this to happen again, sure, the Conservative Party's got big questions to answer. Mike, as I said, has approached this problem with an emotionally sensitive way. But I think as a country, as voters, we all need to think about that too.
Leila Moran.
I'm so deeply frustrated by what's going on, not least because I'm chair of the Health and Social Care Select Committee. I can see in front of my eyes how much work the NHS and social care, because the two come together even though very often half gets forgotten. And I've just lost my Secretary of State. I've got a new one, James Murray. I've not spoken to him yet.
Just quickly, Wes Streeting stepped down as the Health Secretary, down. Saying he'd lost confidence.
It all starts again. And this lack of stability is deeply, deeply concerning. But to answer the question, what went wrong? I think I'm going to zoom out ever so slightly. It is true to say the country elected boring, right? It was like, stop the chaos, let's be boring, let's just get it right and, start delivering and doing stuff by the book. And then we saw, but it's not just U-turns and it's not just Mandelson, it's just sort of one own goal after the other with budgets that hurt small businesses, and you're just like, you came in with no plan. You said, let's be boring. You're like, great, boring to do what? Not sure. And then there seems to be this stubbornness about the world has changed so fundamentally. I mean, since that election, Trump got elected, we've now had, wars in the Middle East, we've had huge economic shocks, and yet there's no changing the red lines on Europe. There's no changing the red lines on things like proportional representation and electoral reform to reflect the five-party politics we're now in. So, why have we got to this point? It's partly because we went into an election, I think, with lots of parties trying not to spook horses. And what I would call for now, not just from the Labour Party, but from all political parties, is proper leadership. Proper vision about where are we going to take the country in the next 5-10 years, and to sell that, and it might not be popular at first, but to make that argument. I'm not hearing that enough from this government. I don't really care who's in charge, frankly, whether it's Keir Starmer or Wes Streeting or Andy Burnham or whoever else might show up, but we need that right now more than ever, because if we don't, only the populists win.
And can I ask you, Leila Moran, do you think Ed Davey, the leader of your party, is delivering that leadership, that clear vision for exactly what the Liberal Democrats would do?
Yeah, I mean, on things like Europe...
It's a serious question, yeah. You know, because there are some people saying that the Liberal Democrats in a crowded, noisy political field do need to be much clearer about what they stand for.
I would say all political parties do, and I would say, you know, in conversations with Ed and my party, it is normal... 2 years in from an election, that all political parties look at their policy offering and say, well, what are we going to move towards? And you know, we've got a process where each member of ours gets the votes, one member, one vote, MP, the same as an ordinary member. And we go to our conference, we make that policy. But, you know, looking at our local election results, I would say yes. And, you know, we do offer that clear, calm leadership, which is why when people elected Lib Dems locally, they re-elect them. So I would say yes.
OK. Stephanie Flanders.
I mean, I think the lesson, you know, I spend a lot of my time speaking and talking to global investors and a sort of global audience who obviously have been looking at the last week or so, mystified how a government could get to this position with such a large majority. And I think that there's a lot of the lessons we've already been hearing I would agree with, but... You know, it's that stability is not enough. We kind of insisted, partly in response to the chaos of the Conservative years, that just needed stability and that was going to be enough. But it turns out you need quite a lot more. You need a plan, as we've discussed, and you need a theory of the case of how you are going to make that happen in the very fragmented, hyper-politicised environment that we're in. You need to be brave. You need to have... A story that you tell about all those things, and I think you haven't seen that, not through any kind of ill will necessarily, but you have seen just an inability to do that combination of things, and I have to say just a massive dose of bad luck. I mean, as an economist, I think particularly the Iran crisis, you know, I feel for the Chancellor, I feel for this government, because there was a story they were starting to tell, there were things that were coming into place, they've made efforts, they've taken steps that have increased private investment, that have at least helped us to see a pickup finally in productivity and sort of getting more out of the same number of people, and that's the only way that we all get richer as a nation. We were going to start to see the impact of that planning reforms that only really were passed into law at the end of last year. Inflation was coming down. All of that has now been thrown into question, not by anything that Keir Starmer's done, but by Donald Trump's decision to go to war with Israel in Iran. And I just think, you know, there is an element of this which is monumental bad luck, but also all of these failings that we've been talking about. And once stability becomes paralysis, doesn't matter how large your majority is, I think the kind of week that we've had was inevitable, even though I share, you know, the sadness that it's happened.
Mike Clapp, I just want to get your... I'm so sorry, Danny, did you want to come in?
Yes, one of the things that I think does need to be said is politics is a skill, and it turns out to be a skill that Keir Starmer doesn't possess enough of. And the reason why that's important is that, in a way, he's very in touch about this. He disdains... things like you need a narrative in politics. People say that to him, he gets irritated. And in that way, he's like most people. Most people think those political skills aren't necessary. And when they're absent, you realise they are necessary. And actually, politics is a profession which has its own particular requirements. And when you don't have them, it's really problematic. So I wouldn't disagree with anything that Stephanie has just said. But I would add to this... you know, when you see Keir Starmer make a speech, you are drawn to the conclusion that's not a very convincing political personality. And although you would think, well, why should that matter? It does actually.
I want to do come back on that. I mean, this notion, Stephanie said, stability is not enough. You've got to be brave. You've got to be strong. What Danny Finkelstein said there, that has echoed some of the criticism that has come from the departing ministers in your government. So when Wes Streeting was talking about drift, not delivery, there's a vacuum where there should be vision. Do you accept that that is a failing of Keir Starmer in the eyes of some in your own party?
Look, my view is that it does take time to deliver to the point where people feel it. And a perfect example of this is, you know, legislation that we started passing quite soon after the general election is only just starting to come into play. So how would we feel it before that? You know, that's the nature of our democracy. And we don't judge a leader after 2 years. We do it after five. And that's where it's your responsibility to then vote and see whether you have felt it. But, you know, we've had the renter's right bill, which came in on the 1st of May. You can actually rent a property with a dog. We won't have those bidding wars anymore, which are so vile, and you're protected and can't be kicked out for no fault of your own. There's 3,000 more frontline police officers on the streets. We've had military investment that we haven't seen since the Cold War. We've had record investment in the NHS. That's brought waiting lists down by 400,000. There's still people waiting, so there's still people not feeling it. But cancer diagnosis is at its fastest ever. That will quite simply save lives. The minimum wages.
I don't want to stop you celebrating leadership. What you see as the achievements of your government, but we have got quite a lot to get through tonight, and I presume you're going to go on listening.
Well, as a government minister, I think it's really important that I make the case that after 2 years, there is a lot to celebrate. And I'm not saying things are perfect. That's why we've just had dire losses at the local elections. There's still a lot of work to do. But to get there, and I'll go back to where I started, we need stability.
But do you think that realistically, in a word or two, Mike, that your party is facing down the barrel of stability right now, with Andy Burnham on the horizon and Wes Streeting unsure what he's going to do next? Is that a realistic prospect?
Well, this is why I'm so frustrated at where we are now. Fortunately, there is no leadership contest, and you know, my plea is to get behind the Prime Minister so he has that 5 years, and then the audience and listeners can make a decision at the general election. It's not for Labour politicians to make a decision, it's for the public.
Okay. Share your views. 03700 100444 is the number you need for any answers. Anita Arnand is in the chair. I know she'd love to hear from you. We are moving on to our next. It comes from Kevin Chalice. Kevin, hi.
Hi. America has Trump. Russia has Putin. China has Xi Jinping. What's not to like about the state of the world?
America has Trump, Russia has Putin, China has Xi Jinping. What's not to like about the state of the world, Danny Finkelstein?
Well, those are all very... that's a very strong point. And it was said at the beginning that my parents were survivors of the Second World War. My father was in a state collective farm when my grandfather was in a gulag. My mother was a Holocaust survivor. So the stability of British democracy has always been very important to me. My grandmother always used to say, while the Queen is safe in Buckingham Palace, we're safe in Hendon Central. And this was...